connection. You're dismissed. While they're heading out, I do want to say that on Wednesday nights, today I'm beginning a new series in the book of 1 Timothy, and so I do invite you to open your Bibles there. We're going to be looking just at verses 1 and 2 of chapter 1. 1 Timothy is a part of a trilogy of books known as the Pastoral Epistles, made up of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. It was given that designation in the first part of the 18th century, primarily because these three letters written to Timothy and Titus focus on pastoral church life related issues. There's a lot in 1 Timothy and Titus and 2 Timothy that points to me and to the leadership, and conversely to you as members of the church. And I think that'll become apparent as we work our way through the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy begins with these opening words: Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. The title given to this sermon is A Letter from God. And I like that title because that's exactly what we're dealing with. That's exactly what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a letter that ultimately comes from God Himself, which these opening words fundamentally communicate. This is a letter. This is a letter. Besides the Gospels and the historical book of Acts and the Revelation, all the other 21 New Testament books or letters are exactly that. They're letters. They're epistles. An epistle is a kind of letter. And the New Testament letters follow the basic format of letters written in the Greco-Roman culture. And the format is pretty simple. You have the opening of a letter, which I just read to you, which listed the writer, the recipient of a letter, and included a wish for health or prosperity. And then after the opening, you had the body of the letter, which could be very, very short or lengthy. And then it came to a conclusion. And in the conclusion, in the typical letter, in some of the typical letters written back then, there was a farewell. Well, the New Testament writers like Paul, who was the human author of the book we're going to be studying, 1 Timothy, Christianized these letters. So that, for example, in the opening, when Paul got to the wish section, where there was a wish for health or prosperity, he replaced that with a blessing, where in that blessing there was a call upon God to pour out His grace upon the recipients of the letter. And then another change was in the conclusion. It wasn't typically merely just a farewell, but there was a benediction. Words of benediction, words of grace to, once again, for God to bestow upon the people His blessing. Now, what put these New Testament letters in a class all by themselves was that they were divinely inspired letters. No other letters written at that time could make that claim. This was unique to the letters that Peter and James and Paul and others wrote. They were divinely inspired letters. So they were not primarily the product of the human author, like Paul. Now, they had a huge role, obviously. It was by their pen that, you know, the words were written out on the parchment or that of a secretary that was dictated to from Paul or Peter or whatever. And those human authors reflected their personalities and their backgrounds and their experiences in what they wrote. And they used the common language of the day, the language that they spoke. The Koine Greek, the lingua franca, the language that the common man spoke as, you know, they lived from day to day. So the human authors had a big role. But they were only the instruments. The major role, the primary role in these New Testament letters was had by God Himself.
Amen.
As 2 Peter 1:21 teaches, they, the human authors, were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit so influenced them that the end product of what they wrote were the very words of God. That's why Paul can say in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is inspired or breathed out by God. So the end product of what Paul penned, Peter penned, James penned, and really the entirety of the Bible, whether you're talking about these epistles or the Gospels or the historical books or the wisdom literature, the ultimate product was a word from God to you and to me. With the influence, with the personalities and all of that of the men who wrote them. But the ultimate product was from God Himself. And so 1 Timothy is not just a letter. It is that. But it is a letter from God. That is one thought that ought to come to mind when you see the word apostle at the beginning of a letter in the New Testament, as you do here in 1 Timothy. Paul the Apostle. When you see that word, you ought to say, oh, here's a letter from God. An apostle, in the sense that it's being used here in 1 Timothy, was one who was called by God and commissioned by God and sent off on a mission in Christ's name and in His authority. And that means that he was a representative of Christ. When Paul went into Thessalonica and or Philippi and he went into the synagogue, he went in as a representative of Christ. He was sent off by Christ to do what? To plant churches. And then when those churches started to develop, he and his colleagues would stay and they would disciple the people and enable them to grow in their faith. And the main duty as a representative of Christ and one who ministered under the authority of Christ and in the authority of Christ was to speak and write down the holy words of God. What an extraordinary privilege these men had, like Paul. To be people who, by miracle of God, by the Spirit of God, would receive divine revelation and then write those words down for the benefit of those original listeners, those original congregations, those original individuals, as well as God's church down through the ages, right up until today, 2012, here at Redeemer.
Amen.
Paul says that he was an apostle by the command of, or by the orders of God the Father and of Christ Jesus. What does that tell you? It tells you that Paul didn't wake up one day and said, I think I'm going to be an apostle. I'd like to do that, and so I'm going to set out and begin doing what apostles do. He's saying that that's not how it happened. It didn't even happen by a church saying, "Hey, you, we think you have what it takes to be an apostle. We're going to set you aside and commission you as an apostle." In this case, that wasn't done. What it's saying is that God himself put his hand on the Apostle Paul. And you know the great conversion story in Acts 19 when he was converted, and then right afterwards he was set aside. And God set him aside as an apostle, as one who would be sent off in his name and with his authority to do extraordinary work for the Lord, and that of writing Holy Scripture. So he wasn't self-appointed. God put him in place. And he was doing a work that took place in a historical context spoken of in the phrases, "God our Savior and Christ Jesus our hope." One phrase, "God our Savior," looks to the past, looks to the cross. That second phrase, "Christ Jesus our hope," looks to the future, to that blessed hope of the return of Christ from the heavens. Paul's ministry took place in that historical redemptive context. John Stott explains it this way: Paul locates his apostleship in a historical context whose beginning was the saving activity of God our Savior in the birth, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and whose culmination will be Christ Jesus our hope, his personal and glorious coming, which is the object of our Christian hope, and which will bring down the curtain on the historical process. So Paul ministered as an apostle in this redemptive historical context. And as he ministered in that context, he ministered with the authority of God himself. And when he wrote the words of 1 Timothy, he was writing the very words of God, which had every ounce of authority of God himself. It lacked none. It was full of the authority of God. If God in the person of Christ were to walk into Ephesus and talk to Timothy personally, that's exactly what God would have said to Timothy. That's how much 1 Timothy and all the other books of the Bible are the Word of God. They are pure and simple, in the fullest extent of the word, the words of God. Timothy needed that. As he stood there in Ephesus as an apostolic representative carrying out the duties of a minister, he needed what Paul had to say from God for that situation and for situations that would take place all throughout redemptive history right up to today. Timothy is described here as my true child in the faith. That may mean that Paul led Timothy to Christ. It's possible that in Acts 14, when Paul had his evangelism campaign in the area in which Timothy lived, that Timothy came to faith. Not sure. Timothy may have come to faith through the ministry of his mother and grandmother as they taught him the Scriptures. But what it does mean, if it doesn't mean that, short of that, it means that both Paul and Timothy shared a genuine faith in Christ. That's what brought them together. And Paul was older, Timothy was younger, so you had this father-son relationship that began in Acts 16 when Paul heard about Timothy, and Timothy was touted as just a great person, someone who was loyal, who was serious about his faith, and Paul said, "Why don't you come along with me?" And there they went off into Paul's second missionary journey. And if you read the things that are mentioned about Timothy, the comments that Paul mentions in his various writings, you find out that Timothy was his right-hand man. Very, very loyal. Paul felt very comfortable in putting all kinds of responsibility into his hands. As he did here in Ephesus. They came to Ephesus, Paul moved on, and he said, "Timothy, I want you to stay here." And this is why Timothy needed what, you know, Paul had to say and what God wanted Paul to tell Timothy. Timothy had a number of responsibilities to carry out in Ephesus, one of which was to shut the mouths of false teachers. There were false teachers in the New Testament churches, as there are today. And Paul said, you know, Timothy, I left you behind in Ephesus to quiet the false teachers. And these false teachers typically were teaching things that were contrary to the gospel. It went to the core of the Christian faith. And so it was incumbent upon these ministers, these apostolic representatives, to really work hard to shut the mouths of those who were teaching these false things so that they wouldn't ruin the lives and faith of these new Christians. And so this book came at an important time to strengthen Timothy, to shore him up, to give him confidence and give him direction as to how to handle the false teachers, as well as a host of other issues that needed addressing. Now, it not only was directed toward Timothy, but obviously there was a congregation that he was ministering to that needed to hear what God was saying to Timothy and then to them. And it would create the proper frame of mind when they realized, oh, here is a letter. Not just any old letter, but a letter from the Apostle Paul, a man of God, a man who received revelation from God, a revelation that had the authority of God Himself. We need to stand up and listen carefully to what this apostle has communicated in this letter that we're hearing from Timothy. These are the words of God. We can't play around with this. We need to listen. We need to believe what's being read and ministered and preached. And we need to obey it. And you know, in 2012, some 2,000 years later, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. This is the Word of God. And when I, like I'm doing right now, get up and seek to faithfully explain and apply the words of God, there's no authority from God that it maintains, I should say, the same levels of authority. We don't lose something because of the distance. The Word of God remains the Word of God when it is read and when it is spoken, when it is ministered faithfully.
Amen.
And so it's important, you know, especially at the beginning of a study like this, for me to remind you of that. The Bible is the Word of God. 1 Timothy is the words of God, not just to Ephesus, but to you today. God still speaks, and He speaks through His written revelation. And so what does that mean for you? It means that you need to say, okay, I need to listen carefully. God speaks through His Word as it is read and preached, so I need to give my utmost attention to what is being spoken. And then I need to believe what is being spoken. I need to apply my faith to that and bring it in, and then say, what must I do? What thinking needs to be changed? What lifestyle issues need to be corrected in my life? And on and on. It is the Word of God. And, you know, when the Word of God is read and it's ministered, when God has spoken and you've heard from God, you never stay the same. It doesn't leave you the same. That's why it's critical for you to respond in faith. Because it either gives life or it hardens. And a lot of that has to do with how we choose to respond to what we're hearing. It's got to be met with faith. and with love and with a willingness to put it into practice in daily life. So this is a letter that has authority. It comes with the full authority of God. But it is a letter also that brings the blessing of God as well. Wherever God is, He is pleased to bless. And He blesses through His Word. Notice what Paul says in verse 2. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. These words of this blessing express what God would bless Timothy and the congregation with as they received God's word in faith. And as a result of submitting to the authority of God's word. If they were to say, I'm not going to hear it. I'm not going to listen to you, Timothy. Or if Timothy would have said, I'm not going to do that. There's no way I'm going to go over to Hymenaeus over there and tell him to shut his mouth. There's no way. I'm too afraid. I mean, he may haul off and hit me or something. Well, if there was that kind of disobedient response, I mean, there is no blessing. But when there is faith in what God says and a willingness to respond and submit to God's authority, there is grace. There is mercy. There is peace. Now, what do those terms mean? Grace is the help of God that none of us deserve to receive. It's the help of God saving us from eternal death by faith in His Son. We know that definition. You know, God's unmerited favor. We deserve to die and be separated from God forever, but God's provided a Savior, and by faith in Him, we're delivered from eternal death and we're granted eternal life. That's God's saving help. Another aspect of what grace means is this, that it's the help of God in enabling believers to serve and live for God's glory. And that enabling help, or that enablement, comes from the Spirit and His Word. And I think it's that latter grace, or that latter understanding of help, which is what Paul is talking about here. God's enablement, enabling Timothy as a minister, enabling the believers in that congregation to actually do the things that are going to be commanded of them. Mercy is God's sympathy and concern for us in view of the messes that we often make of our lives as a result of sinful choices. We make messes and we get ourselves in trouble and so on. You all know what I mean. Timothy wasn't perfect. There were messes that he made and so on and so forth. Well, God's mercy is God's pity. I mean, his sympathy and His concern that moves Him to pull us out of the messes that we get ourselves in and put us on a better course. And all of that leads to the peace. Peace here means tranquility and stability within our hearts, the peace of God, and the peace or the tranquility and stability among God's people in community, where people are in harmony with one another, getting along. All that is the result of God's grace and mercy received by the people. So as Timothy and the believers in Ephesus read and believed and applied God's message in the letter written by Paul, they would experience God's enabling, sanctifying help. They would experience God's sympathy and concern in the troubling situations that they faced, all of which would result in inner and relational tranquility and stability. Sounds good. Grace sounds good, doesn't it? God's mercy sounds wonderful. God's peace, having that inner peace that only God can give, that everything's all right, that He's in charge and He's working everything out for your good. Peace with one another. You know, one of the unpleasantries of life is when relationships aren't right, when there's a lack of forgiveness, when there's bitterness and strife. That's yuck! Don't like that at all. So much better to genuinely be in harmony with one another. Well, that's what awaits you. That's what awaits you and me in this letter from God of 1 Timothy. It awaits us as we humbly and in faith submit ourselves to its divine authority, to God Himself. Do you need grace? Do you need God's enablement to do the things that He calls you to do? I do. Do you need some mercy? Are you saying right now, oh man, I've made a mess of things? Well, God's a God of mercy. Do you need some relational stability? Well, it's all here. It's what God provides. May God pour out His rich blessings upon us in abundance as we study 1 Timothy, a letter from God. Our God in heaven, we thank You that You have spoken, that You have revealed Your will in the Scriptures, which we have available to us. Thank You for that. Lord, help us, help me as a minister, and help this congregation of people to have a mindset that, you know, this is the Word of God, what You've given to us in the Scriptures, and that we must hold it in high regard with great reverence as we do You, Yourself. And that we are to be people who are willing to submit to whatever it is that You have said. Father, we need Your help. We need Your grace, indeed. We need You to help us to be who we need to be in relationship to You and to Your Word. And Father, as we move through this book over the weeks and months to come, strengthen us, Father, through it. Help us, Father, to learn what we need to learn, and when we are being challenged to change, that we, by Your grace, will move forward in faith and pursue a path of change. Lord, show Your mercy to us and grant us increasing tranquility and stability in our inner hearts and in the relationships that we have here at Redeemer and with others. Pour out Your blessing upon us for Your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.